Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
There are few things more destructive to our lives than feeling as though we are without hope. Friend, hope is alive, and it's alive through Jesus Christ. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we study Hope is Alive. Stay with us. There's nothing more debilitating than hopelessness. I don't know if today's broadcast finds you facing hopeless circumstances or events that have unfolded in your lives, things that have come unraveled from under you and cause you to wonder, where is God and what's going on in my life? Well, friend, welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Southern California. And today we study Hope is Alive. In Christ, you can, you do have hope. For all who trust Him, for all who believe in Him, for all who are following Him and claiming His promises, there is an eternal, wonderful hope found in the promises of His Word. And in this series, Hope is Alive, we're going to unpack that hope and discover it on a personal level. I know every message will encourage your heart. Before we dive into the Word of God today, I do want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find on the website a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell, also links to the Daily in the Word podcast and recent publications from Dr. Chappell. All of this is intended to help you grow in grace, in the knowledge of Christ, and in your hope in Him. Well, today we're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to study family hope. Here's Paul Chappell.
This morning we are going to study the spiritual development of a young man who grew up in a home without a Christian father, but with a godly mother and a godly grandmother. And this young man became a major influence for the cause of Jesus Christ in the first century. The Bible tells us that there is a particular process through which this young man was raised, and God blessed this process in order that Timothy would be greatly used of God. In fact, it got to the place in Timothy's life where Paul on one occasion said, I want you to receive Timothy because he is doing exactly what I do. He's doing it with the same power and with the same importance. 1 Corinthians 16:10 says, Now if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Now, when we see the Apostle Paul putting Timothy up at that level, he's saying, I'm an apostle, but Timothy's going to come and do what I do in your midst. When we see Timothy in this way of service, I think we need to stop and ask the question, how did a little boy from a family without a saved daddy and from the city of Lystra in the Roman Empire, which was a godless society, it was a mystical place given over to Greek mysticism. How did a young man from this kind of a home and this kind of a city develop into such a great leader for the cause of Jesus Christ? How can a young man from this rough Roman Empire village come to be used of God so greatly? And I want you to think about that with me this morning, because there are millions of young people in America today growing up in a society that is not much unlike the Roman Empire. America is fast becoming a godless society. Mysticism abounds, pluralism abounds, and yet there are still children who need the hope that Jesus Christ can bring. And how can we find hope for our children today? And how can we find hope to see them make a difference in their everyday life? Well, I want you to examine Timothy's upbringing with me this morning and see if we can learn some things about how to pass it down to our family, this matter of the Christian faith. I want you to see, first of all, that Timothy found hope from the local New Testament church. Timothy found hope from the church that was given to him as God sent a missionary his way one day. Now, I want to state emphatically as we consider this point, I believe in the local New Testament Baptist Church. I believe that God has ordained the local church as a place of learning and instruction. We are to lift up the truth in society. That's the role of the church. The Bible says in Acts 2 and verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. God works in and by and through the local New Testament church. But not every city has a church like this one. And so God sends forth missionaries to win people to Christ so that they might gather together as called out assemblies as New Testament churches would. And we see this church that made a difference in Timothy's life. I want you to notice, first of all, it was founded by a missionary. His church was founded by a missionary. You know, if I were to describe Timothy to you in his early days, I would describe him as a little Sunday school boy. Timothy was just a young man when he first heard the name Paul the Apostle. And Paul came to his hometown, the town of Lystra, located in modern-day Turkey. It was a rural area. It was a Roman colony. And it was to this pagan village the Apostle Paul came on his missionary journey, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He went to towns like Lystra and Derbe and Iconium. And from village to village, he proclaimed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God who died and rose again on the third day. Now, I want you to understand that being a missionary and establishing a local church is not done without great sacrifice. Wherever you find a Bible-preaching church, you may see a big building, you may see a lot of cars in the parking lot, but please take note of the fact there was a day when all that existed was a man and a passion for souls. That's where it always starts. And the Apostle Paul was that man. He had a passion for souls. He went to Lystra. And notice in your notes Paul's initial sacrifice, Acts 14, 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And they, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that through much tribulation we must enter into the kingdom of God. Now talk about sacrifice. When Paul had preached at Lystra, the angry mob gathered round him and picked up stones, and they began to throw those stones at the Apostle Paul. And when they supposed that he was dead, they picked him up and they took him outside of that village of Lystra and they threw him in the rubbish pile, supposing he had been dead. The Bible says, as Paul began to regain consciousness and look up, there had gathered round about him a band of believers, a called out assembly of people. And those Christian people who gathered round the apostle that day were the early Christians of Lystra, amongst whom was a young boy named Timothy. And Timothy saw his missionary stand up, brush off, and start preaching once again. You talk about mentoring. This boy, Timothy, was seeing real Christianity in action. Paul made a great sacrifice. I want you to also know that Paul continuously loved this Sunday school boy. Notice in verse number 3, the Bible says, I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. My friends, if you have the privilege to lead someone to Jesus, if you have the privilege to raise a family, if you have the privilege to teach a class or to be involved in youth ministry, when someone makes their decision for Christ, don't forget them. Give them the Bible. Give them a time. Bring them to church. Write them a note of encouragement. Pray for them that they would reach their potential for God. This is what Paul did for Timothy. And this local church where Timothy was raised was founded by a godly missionary. By the way, I thank God for the over 180 missionaries this church is supporting as we speak this morning around the world, spreading the gospel of Jesus, reaching little Timothys with the message of Jesus Christ. And so this church at Lystra was a great, great help to Timothy and his mother as Timothy was being raised. And it was founded by a missionary. And secondly, it was formed by the scriptures. This church was all about the Bible. And it was all about teaching the Bible. And that should be the mission of every Bible-believing New Testament church. We are here primarily to preach the Word of God. Now, we see that in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Notice that in your Bible, 2 Timothy 2:1. Paul says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Paul says, "Timothy, I taught you some things from the Bible. I want you to commit those to other men also. I want you to pass this thing called your faith to the next generation." Now, the scriptures that Paul taught Timothy contained great theological truth. And so when Paul says the things that I committed to you, he is speaking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is speaking about the truth of eternal life in a place called heaven or a place called hell. He's speaking about the ministry of grace through the work of the Holy Spirit. He's speaking about many great doctrines. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 10, Paul said, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine." You see, the Christian belief system or our faith is comprised of doctrines from the Bible. And Timothy had been grounded in those doctrines, and they set a direction for his life. And so the scriptures contain theological truth. But let me tell you something about those scriptures. The scriptures are despised by the world in which we live. Now get this picture in your mind. Timothy and his mother are living in their little home, and they're reading the scriptures, and they're praying to God through Jesus Christ. But their neighbors would not have appreciated that faith in every case. And in the Roman Empire, there were many who hated Christianity. They hated the name of Jesus Christ. And in fact, just days after this book would be written and completed, the book of 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul would die a martyr's death in the city of Rome for his faith and message concerning Jesus Christ. There are many enemies of this message. 2 Peter 3:16 says, "Many unlearned and unstable men wrest the scriptures." That is, they take them out of context and they do not receive the scriptures, the word of God. What I'm saying to you is Paul said, "Timothy, I've passed to you a faith. It had ideology and doctrine at its formational basis in your life. And I want you to know that even as it's being passed down, there are many who hate what the Bible says. But Timothy was a man raised up for a purpose. And there was hope in that purpose because Timothy had a foundation on the Word of God. And he knew what the Bible said. And he stood by his convictions. And we need 16 and 17 and 18-year-olds today who have some Bible-based convictions, who will stand on what the Bible says, not what the culture says, you see. Timothy's hope came from a Bible preaching local church started by a missionary. Notice, secondly, there's hope from a loving family. Timothy had hope from his local church, but Timothy had hope from a loving family. And I want you to think about his family. We meet them in verse 5. Paul says, "When I called to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice." Now think about Lois and Eunice, if you would, for just a moment. Eunice was a godly mother raising her son for the Lord. And Eunice was helped by her mother, Lois, in this great, great undertaking of child raising. I'm told there are 10.4 million single mothers in America today. There were just over 3 million in 1970. Many moms today are raising their children without a husband at home. And many whom I respect greatly in this church, raising their children without a saved husband, as was the case of this woman, Eunice. And they are doing their best to raise Timothy for the Lord. And I want you to get a glimpse into their home. And I want you to see the three aspects of this home that all of us need in our own family life. Notice, first of all, there was a pure faith. Lois and Eunice were real Christians. They were unibody Christians. They had integrity. They were the real deal. Notice it says, when I call to remembrance, verse 5, the unfeigned faith. The word unfeigned means undisguised. It means sincere. 1 Timothy 1:5, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Now, parents, please get this. This is vital. It is vitally important not merely to come to church, but that we in our lives are living for the Lord and that we are sincere about our faith, not just having a suit on Sunday, but on Monday talking of the Lord and appreciating what good things God has done. And you show me a Christian family that goes to church on Sunday and hits the club on Friday, or a church family that comes to church on Sunday and then through the week they're critical maybe of other people at church or the preacher or whatever else, and they are sowing the seeds of destruction for their own children. And 23 years later, I've seen it. Christians who were here for a while but were not truly dedicated to Jesus, they were not unfeigned or pure. Over time, you see the results of that in their children, because listen to me, 8 and 10 and 15-year-olds can pick out hypocrisy as fast as anybody. And the reason Timothy was a tremendous man of God is because his mother and grandmother were sincere, real Christians. I heard about a father who came home from work, and just before dinner, he saw his 5-year-old son standing out on the driveway, and he walked up to his son. His son was mad. He had his arms crossed. He was frowning. He said, "What's wrong, son? Have you had a tough day today?" His son said, "Yes, I have." He said, "I've been having trouble all day long with your wife." Now, moms, every one of you have the right to a bad day or two, all right? But I just want to stop and thank God that there are hundreds of real Christian mothers who attend Lancaster Baptist Church. People who love the Lord. People who forgive. Mothers who care and pray. And who keep on loving when it's perhaps not always easy to love. Thank God for your pure faith. And there will be a harvest come from that faith. The harvest will be a blessing in your life. But not only did Timothy grow up in a family with a pure faith, but notice secondly, there was a persistent example in his life. He had a mother and a grandmother who persistently showed him the way to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 16:1 says, but his father was a Greek, meaning his father had not converted to Christ. He followed the ways of the Greek mysticism. I like what Abraham Lincoln once said, no man is poor who has a godly mother. And I thank God for the influence today of godly mothers who persistently, lovingly raise their children for the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that Timothy was in a home where there was a persistent nurturing environment. The Bible says to a father, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And fathers can learn from mothers about nurturing and caring and memory making and lesson giving. And certainly Lois and Eunice had provided that type of an environment for their son. And I thank God this morning for moms who decide and determine to stay at home when their children are young and formidable and read stories and sing songs and teach them the ways of God in those early formative days of their life. And this was the kind of home where Timothy was raised. Proverbs 4 and verse 4 says, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Now, I must admit this morning, as would most honest dads, that mothers are a little better at this persistent nurturing than dads are. Moms, they get it and they do a great job of it. Now, I did hear about a dad one day who was so blessed in his family with a newborn, and he went into the nursery and he was standing there over the crib and just looking lovingly down into that crib, and emotions were welling up within him. He was just in awe and delight and amazement and enchantment. His wife walked around the corner. She saw him looking down there, and she was touched by his unusual sense of nurture and care. And she looked to her husband and she said, a penny for your thoughts. And he said, it's amazing. He said, as he looked down, I just can't see how anybody could build a crib like that for $46.50. Now, that's about the depth of the average guy's nurturing ability, you know. Sometimes we just don't get it. But Lois and Eunice got it. and they gave it to Timothy, and persistently they nurtured him. And by the way, they were persistent in their times of adversity. Let's be honest about it. It's not easy for a woman to come to church alone when her husband stays at home and thinks she's a kook. And I have a lot of men and great men and women of God whom I respect, evangelists and preachers and deacons who are faithful and soul winners and godly. But I don't know of another group that I really respect more when I just step back and take a look at it than the dozens of single moms or ladies in this church whose husbands could not care at all for the faith and sometimes swear at them as they walk out the door to come to Lancaster Baptist Church. And yet these ladies come in through these doors with a smile on their face, with their children in tow, a tithe check in their hand, singing in the choir, praising God. I'm going to tell you something. That is a testimony to the grace of God in their life. And there's an interesting saying I heard years ago. Every adversity carries with it the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit. With every adversity, God wants to do something special in someone's life. And I cannot explain this exactly, but some of the greatest preachers I have ever heard preach in my life were raised in a family without a father because of a mother who through her adversity did not get bitter, but who got better. And who just kept on going like Lois and Eunice did. You know, I wish you could have been there Monday night. This past Monday night at our annual senior banquet for the Lancaster Baptist Youth Crew. I wish every one of you could have just peered in for a while. Those of you with maybe younger children especially. And considered the end of a thing. I wish you could have been there as we honored about 40 seniors in our high school senior class. And we were there at the Disneyland Grand Ballroom and gathered with a host of teenagers from our youth group, and I wish you could picture it in your mind. We had the teens seated down on a lower level. My wife and I sat with them. Helps us feel younger when we do that. And their parents were all seated in an upper level around the back area of the room. And all the music was beautiful. And the seniors gave wonderful testimonies about their faith in Christ and their gratitude for their families. And the girls were so feminine and modest and godly looking. And the boys looked like men, and they were polite in their demeanor. And we saw the videos of their lives as given by their parents through snapshot pictures that were given. And we heard the testimonies of their mom and dads blessing their children on the video. It was a wonderful evening and a great tribute to the local church and the loving family of which I preached this morning. And how powerful these institutions are when they are given the credence that God wants us to give to them. And then I couldn't help but think about it as I looked back and saw those parents up there in the back of the room. And every one of those parents would be the first to tell you they were not perfect. Some of them are seated here this morning. They'd say, hey, it's to the glory of God, it's by the grace of God that my son wants to live for the Lord, and that he's been pure and faithful to this point in his life, and that he has this attitude. Every dad would say it. Every mom would say, I've made some mistakes. I'm just glad. But as I looked at those children, I could not help looking back at their parents and thinking a few thoughts. First, I thanked God for the fact that those parents had been faithful. It is required of a steward that a man be found what? Faithful.
Well, you've been listening to Hope is Alive with Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We've been studying and rediscovering how God's Word and how the person of Jesus Christ represents a living hope for everyone who follows and believes and trusts in Him. Friend, hope in Christ really begins with a relationship with Him. And you enter into that relationship the moment you trust Him, the moment you place your faith and belief in Him as your only Savior. If you've never made that decision, we encourage you to bow your head and heart wherever you may be and simply make that faith decision, that decision to repent and turn from a life of unbelief to a life of belief, to accept Jesus Christ as the God-man, the only Savior who can truly pay for your sins, come into your life, and give you His gift of eternal life. If you have questions about that decision, we would love to talk with you more about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. I do want to invite you to visit our ministry online, dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. This website is a treasury of resources for your spiritual growth and for the spiritual growth of those that you love. First, you'll find a complimentary daily devotional. You can subscribe to this. It can come to your email box every day with a word of encouragement from Pastor Chapel, and also an Old and New Testament scripture reading that will take you through the Bible in 1 year. This is completely free of charge. And also on the website, you'll find links to the Daily in the Word podcast. If you miss a program, or if you know of a friend that would like to listen to Daily in the Word free of charge in an area where we do not broadcast on a radio station, you can download this program, subscribe to it, take it with you on your phone or iPod or computer, and listen at your convenience. That's the Daily in the Word podcast. Also, I want to encourage you to take a look at Pastor Chapel's newest book, The Burden Bearer. This is a 180-page hardback book. It's an allegory that will help you rediscover what a relationship with God really is all about when it comes to the burdens of this life. It's an encouraging book. It's a book you won't want to put down. You will then pass it along to folks that you know in your life who are bearing up under difficult trials and burdens. Once again, it's called The Burden Bearer. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. That's dailyintheword.org. Or you can call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Thanks again for listening to this edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.